Tonight, we're going to take one verse, and then I'll refer to verses along the way. You may or may not, you don't have to take down the references. Some of you have the sheet that was handed out yesterday morning as the men brought it home. We'll use some of those verses as well as others in our study tonight, but what I want to do is have a sit back and just evaluate, in a way, what life is all about. Because our life is a race. And the verse I'm going to use is found in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But one receives a prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And so we're going to be looking at that theme tonight, and our lesson is entitled Finishing Well. There are five questions I want to refer to along the way. First one is, what is the race that we are running? The second one, what is the purpose of this race? The third one, how do we run it? The fourth one, how can we be sure of the way? And the fifth one, how will our life here affect us as we're with Jesus? Those are the five questions that we're going to be looking at tonight as we talk about this race. I'll read the verse once more. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. First of all, what is the race? We know from Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin and so on as we run the race that is set before us. So the answer is, what is the race? It's the race that the Lord sets before us. From the time that we go through the straight or difficult gate and we are on the narrow way, we are running this race. From the time we are saved. This is the Lord's race that He sets before us. It's not the way we choose, it's the way He chooses for us. And as you sit and think about this, we find that it is not a race that has to do with speed. It is not a race that we compete with somebody else, even though the verse kind of insinuates that to start with. It's the race that each one runs individually, and each of us have an opportunity to finish well. We don't want to encourage anybody to go off the path. There will be times that we do, and praise God for a Father who brings us back again. But this is the race, the one that God sets before us. I say that because I want that emphasized. It is His race in many more ways than what we recognize as we just talk about it. What is the purpose of this race? First of all, we know that there is a prize at the end. There is a goal to be achieved. This is a real race that we run as a Christian. Paul said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there's a goal to be worked at, but there's more purpose than that. We know, and we've used the verse many times, that we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. So the Lord, as we run this race, is doing something with us. We aren't just running. Paul says, I don't just run to beat the air. He said, I discipline my body. There is a purpose. God has a purpose for us in this race that we are running. So life is not without meaning for any one of us. Sometimes we may get discouraged, but it's important to remember that He is working with us. We are His workmanship. He's conforming us to the image of Jesus. Romans 8:29. He's conforming us to the image of His Son. We find that within our life, there will be many trials. There will be difficulties. There will be suffering. All that is part of the race. You remember some weeks ago, I was given a small little turtle made of shells. Some of you may remember that. Christmas time. And I put it up on my bookcase next to my desk, and my daughter-in-law, I think it was, said, Bumpa. And of course, that's what the grandkids call me, Bumpa. And as I thought about that for a while, I recognized what a privilege. Because the idea came to me that He finished. You know, there are many who run more rapidly, but the turtle finished, as we go back in the legend. It's not the speed that we are running with, it's that we finish. That we go all the way to the end. All the way until the day of Jesus Christ. This is of utmost importance. There are those that are going to give up along the way. You say, are we losing our salvation? I don't teach that. I don't believe that. Those that the Lord has really worked in are going to go all the way. We do have the responsibility to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, not for it, to work it out. He doesn't call us for us to take a vacation. I don't mean that in the literal sense, but vacation from serving Him. He calls us for a purpose. And many times it is a difficult life. We have spent Sunday nights going through the book of Acts and looking in the latter part at the life of Paul. Although when we looked at the life of the others, Peter and some of the other apostles, it was difficult for them. All but one were martyred. John was on the Isle of Patmos when Jesus revealed Himself to him and he wrote this wonderful book of Revelation. It's not an easy life. We are taught to count the cost. How do we run the race? Well, as we had yesterday morning at the men's group, there's a verse in 2 Timothy 2:5. It says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And the Lord has set up rules for us, found in His book. Now, if we start to make our own rules, I think right now of the Olympics being in progress, and there are boundaries that these people have to keep within. In the summer races, on the dashes and so forth, they have to keep within the lanes. The Lord has told us it's a narrow way, and we are to keep on that narrow way. We are not to go out to the right or to the left. We're to keep on a narrow way. We are separated from many things around us. In Hebrews again, it said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us lay aside the weights. As we examine our lives And I do this, and I encourage you to do this, because this is how we grow. Are there those weights that we have that are keeping us from having real victory? Now, I find in my life, I have to really watch, because there's so many things that can take over, and I give all my energy to this thing. It's fine if it's part of the race and part of the racetrack that I'm to be on. It isn't good if it's going out to the right or to the left. Now, I won't name a lot of things because you may feel guilty. But you can name them, can't you? Do we have things in our lives that suddenly we find we're spending all our time on this, and the Lord is being somewhat neglected, or at least He's not preeminent like He should be? We are to run this race looking unto Jesus. Now, if I'm looking every place else and I'm getting my fulfillment and my strength from some other place, I'm not looking unto Jesus in the way that I should be. I find that one of the most comfortable places for me to be is when I'm in God's presence in prayer. Actually, by myself or my wife and I, as we have devotions. Yet, when each of us have our own individual prayer life and we come before the Lord, this is most comforting. Because He can examine us, He can reveal to us through His Word. I encourage people, the two things, we had them in the testimony service praised for this evening. And that is, one of them is the Word of God. The other one is the Holy Spirit. And you really can't separate the two, can you? Because He's the one that brings us into the truth of His Word. When I'm in prayer, that wonderful privilege of prayer, when I can come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He can speak to me through His Word. We shared tonight how He's spoken through us, to us, through His Word, and through others bringing the Word, and we find it was just confirming. People are beginning to think about this race. We know the last generation that comes before Christ's coming is going to go through some very, very difficult times. That's fact. The Bible says it, and I believe it. My part as a pastor is to encourage people to stay close to the Lord and recognize these things around us. We had in our lesson this morning in church where Paul said, beware, don't let them ensnare you or take you captive by these philosophies and vain words. And in that case this morning, it was adding some things to salvation. There's nothing you can add to Christ. He is sufficient. We are complete in Him. We don't need the other things. In fact, then He lets us go our own way. And so we want to stay on that narrow road and run that race and run it well. We may feel at times we're plodding, that we aren't going very rapidly. That's okay. Just stay on that narrow way. We may feel at times it's not very popular. That's okay. The Bible says it's not very popular. Let's stay on that narrow way. We compete according to the rules that God has laid down for us. We find in 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. When they run in a temporal race, in a race that is on earth here, they prepare many times years in order to run that race. They have special clothing. We have special armor that we are to put on. They train. And they, as Paul says, Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified or a castaway, sometimes it says. And so this is, for Paul, it was his life. You can't read the book of Acts without recognizing that Paul's life was spent on pleasing God. It was spent on how to run this race. He mixed his metaphors at times. Right before this verse that we have for tonight, he talked about a military type thing. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world, that he might please him who has called him to be a soldier. Towards the end of his life, he mixed images also when he says, I have fought a good fight. And then he says, I have finished the course, the race. He has gone all the way to the end. And of course, then he was able to say, I have kept the faith. What a beautiful thing for a party that's entering the last days to be able to say, I have kept the faith. Because it's by faith that we are going to run this race. No other way. As we see God's word, may our hearts be soft enough to accept it. There are times I share with people from the word and they can read it and they can see it, but it doesn't go any deeper than the skin. It hurts you. You've all had people that you've testified to and tried to share with, and it only goes skin deep. They're never affected in the heart. It's the most tragic thing that can happen. How can this be broken? Only by prayer. It's only God. Remember, people are dead in trespasses and sin. It's only God that can bring life whereby they can recognize their sinners and need forgiveness, and begin to enter through that narrow, straight gate that's difficult in the narrow way as they run along. We find that what Paul is saying here in these verses, give it everything you've got. Run to win. We run to win. No other way. My preeminent motive in life is to win this race and to be able to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. This is of utmost importance. How can we be sure of the way? How can we be sure of the way? And as I talk about this one, it'll go back to this morning's message. But the Lord has given the church a special blessing. We talked this morning about law and grace and that transition that's been made from following a bunch of rules. God forbid we aren't obedient to His commandments. I'm not saying that. But from following rules to where He has written the laws upon our heart. And through love of Him and love for others, we find that the Holy Spirit will lead us into the way that we are to go. And He directs our paths. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. If we're still making our own plans with no thought of what God's plans for us are, something has to be changed along the way, doesn't it? For us to get back right on the track. The Bible says, don't say you're going to do this tomorrow and that the next day. apart from if God wills. It's the way He leads. Many times our days are completely transformed from what our plans were because He has something better for us. Maybe it's difficult, but it's still better if it's His way than my way. And I want to follow His way. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Romans 8:14. I want to emphasize this, that the Lord knows the way. We have the little song that we play, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. There's a lot of truth in that chorus. He's the one who knows the way through this wilderness. He is called the Spirit of Truth, and He is the one who guides us into the truth of His Word, and He is the one who leads us in the path and the way that the Lord would have us go. Our God knows the way. I, tongue-in-cheek, said it's kind of like our GPS, isn't it? But much more reliable. You see, He's truth. We have instruments, but not always do they work and not always do they choose the best way. But see, God knows if there's roadblocks. He knows if there's detours. He knows if there's problems along the way. And He's the one that we're to follow. Now, He has given us some other instructions that are very, very important. If we are going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead, Paul encourages us, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your ministry. Present your bodies. Many times following the Lord's way is sacrificial. In fact, probably most of the time. But it's the right way. Present our bodies. Now, on the negative side, we are told 1 Thessalonians 23, 1 Thessalonians 5, I forget which verse it is, it says, don't quench the Spirit. Can you imagine in a practical way, driving in a place that you've never been and you've got your GPS and somebody flips it off on you? When we are walking with the Lord and we quench the Holy Spirit, we stop receiving the instructions that He will give us. How important it is to be sensitive. I enjoy starting my day out with the Lord because I like instructions before I even start. Now we come to a part right now and somebody's going to say, but can you be absolutely sure that the Holy Spirit is leading you? And I'm going to say yes. I don't hear audible voices. And I'm not encouraging anybody to look for audible voices. He has given us everything we need for godly life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Now, I've encouraged people, even as I prayed and David prayed and Moses prayed, show me your way. James says, you have not because you ask not. For you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on your lust or your strong desires to do your own thing. How many of our prayers are slanted to bring us what we feel is happiness? Rather than saying, Lord, what would you have me to do today? I believe the Lord can speak so clearly that you can't help, but if you're watching, If you're sensitive, you can't help but know it's the Lord speaking and it's the Lord working in your life. And it may not be what we want, but it will be guaranteed what we need. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And if we're willing to follow what His purpose is and His way that He directs us, we'll find a life of fulfillment and peace. Difficulties? Yes. Suffering? Yes. He has been open and above board to tell us ahead of time, so when it comes to pass, we might believe. But isn't it wonderful we have somebody to go to when these troubles come? And that we can trust Him? And as we yield ourselves to Him, His voice will appear much louder. And we'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt. There are times I just praise God as I'm in my study and things begin to open up and in His Word or in prayer many times as I'm praying and sometimes lying in the bed early in the morning before it's time to get up. And He speaks and begins to send these verses and the ideas for some of the messages that we have. And I can just say, thank You, Lord. Our life is directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, He has written His laws in our hearts. There's a verse that says, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And we find that He'll either accuse us or excuse us, as we had in this morning's message. And we'll know that. We'll know that I was out of line and I need to make it right. Or we'll know that this is the way I should go. Walk You in it. We'll have it so burdened upon our heart that I need to speak to this one about the Lord. Or possibly I need to give. You know I don't ask for money, so when I say this, it's kind of out of character, but sometimes, as we're stingy with the Lord and the blessings start to go down, we come back to that. I've also found blessings come from going through the book of Revelation, as when we spoke through it, and I believe even now as we're going through it in Bible study. There are many ways that God directs us and we find Him speaking to us. And I'm just encouraging people to listen as He speaks. God knows the way. Be submissive. Not only does He say don't quench the Spirit, in Ephesians 4, Paul tells us, don't grieve the Spirit of God. He will put it on our hearts what is right. Are we going to be perfect? No. Will we ever sin? Yes. But when that happens, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, now David sinned and it took almost a year and God had to send a prophet to him and said, it's you. And when David's eyes were open, he wept and he confessed and he was sorry with a broken and contrite heart before God. In our case, you probably won't have a man of God come to you and say, you're the one. Maybe he'll lead me to do that, but in most cases, that's not the case. But the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and we'll know I'm out of place and it's time I get right with God. The last question I'd like to have us look at, how will our life here affect us in the future as we come to meet the Lord? In Bible study the other night, we were left with a little bit of a question. We didn't stop at it, but in Revelation 7, we found that there's a phrase in there as they're all standing in front of the throne. This is the rapture, and the people are excited. They're waving palm leaves, I believe it was, a symbol of victory, and salvation belongs to our God. They've all just arrived in one group, and it's exciting. That's the kind of group it's going to be, a multitude of angels and a multitude that no one can number of those who have been come up. And the only time we have that in the Bible is at the rapture. Otherwise, we're always talking about a remnant. Even in the best of days during the early church, we have numbers like 3,000 and 5,000, but never a multitude that no man can number. And we know towards the end of the age, it always becomes fewer and fewer. We find that in Noah's day. And Jesus himself says, compare the end of the time now with Noah's day, because it's going to be the same way. This is why I have such a burden on my heart, because many are going their happy ways without ever thinking of what God wants for their life. They're doing their own thing. I'm not trying to be a killjoy, I'm trying to bring joy. Because the greatest joy can be found when we know we're in God's will. And we have that peace that passeth understanding. Now, in Revelation 7, verse 14, the last part, it says, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. The tribulation has been cut short, just like it promised in Matthew 24. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they... I'm reading from the NAS now because it emphasizes it, and that's what I wanted to do. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And somebody might say, but that sounds like we've worked for our salvation and we've washed our robes and made them white. I'd like to read another portion in Revelation chapter 19. And it's on the marriage feast. Some of you may remember. It's verses 7 and 8. It says, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. Listen to this. And His bride, who's the bride? The church has made herself ready. Now, I don't want to make light of this, so don't take it that way. But I don't know of any place where there's a powder room in heaven that it's talked about where we go in and make ready so we're all clean and nice. It says the church has made herself ready, and it was given her, or granted her, or allowed her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, in the King James, it says righteousness. And let me just say, I know all righteousness comes from God. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Now, this is saying something that sounds like it's different. And right after that, he said to me, write, and he gives one of the Beatitudes, one of the seven Beatitudes in Revelation, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. How do we explain it? First of all, the church, I believe, is now making herself ready. The church is now making herself ready. We are not working for our salvation, but we have surrendered ourselves to follow the Holy Spirit's lead and work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Kind of understand where they're coming from? And then it makes perfect sense. When the church makes herself ready, or the bride makes herself ready, the wife, we are doing that now. Many people aren't. Many people are professing, but they don't recognize that this is the time we make ourselves ready. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I praise God for the family of God in this church. And I pray that these words will be encouraging for us to know that, yes, it's going to be difficult. But I want, more than anything, to be on a narrow way and to be following the Lord's directions for my life. And that I might not only run the race, but that I might finish well, taking nothing away from the gospel or adding nothing to it, but knowing that he is sufficient for this race. My knowledge of him and what he has given me, I have everything sufficient for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. This is from Peter. May God bless each one of us. Shall we stand as we close in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I praise and thank you for your word. Oh, how it's blessed me, and I pray it will bless the people who have heard tonight. Father, that together we might run this race. If there are things that are distracting to us, Lord, may we set them aside. You have warned us. Watch and pray. Always, you told us, that we may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. All the distractions, not the trials, to escape all the distractions that would come our way. And to stand before the Son of Man, which I believe is when we are raptured, they were all standing in Revelation 7 before you, having victory, having won the race, and finished well. And they had kept the faith and finished the course. Father, dismiss us with the fullness of your blessings now. We give you all the praise as we pray in the precious name of your dear Son. They answered and said, Amen.